Today's reading is from the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 16. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am he." But they kept asking him, "Then how are your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided.
Thank you so much, Chris. And thank you, Jim, for setting the stage with the beautiful music. I think I told you several weeks ago that that's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And every time I hear it or read it, it just touches me again. The sermon today is Break the Rules. Before I get there, I want to give you just a little bit of background. I'm not a preacher. I am a lay person, just like you. This will be my sixth sermon. So, all transparency here. Normally, I'm asked to speak at Abundant Peace UCC in Las Vegas, and it's very interactive. It's primarily an African-American church, although they welcome everybody. And it's very interactive because it's, you know, preach it, pastor, or preach it, brother, or amen. And so if you feel like that, that's good to me. Yes, you're all good. A little early, but we're good. So I also tend to talk too quickly, so I have my little note here to speak slower. It takes me weeks to write a message because I just feel like I need to get everything in, and then I actually don't read it. There are more notes because I feel like the Spirit works through me and takes words out and adds words as I'm going along. So I also want to say a special hello to my online Fairview family. I know that the sanctuary is here and everybody attends here, but there's a special little family online that we all know each other, even from a distance, and we feel a special connection to each other as well as our connection to Fairview. And I just want to shout out to them. So let's start with prayer. Wonderful and gracious God, may you use the Holy Spirit to take out any words that I might say that are not pleasing to you and add any words that are necessary to make this right. Help me to get the message across that you would want. Amen. Well, you know I'm not Monica. She's much better looking, and she doesn't need notes. She's got a brilliant mind that retains everything. My mind is like a sieve, and it forgets everything. But I'm Walter, and Monica's on a great vacation, and so I'm going to tell you that I think you should break some rules, maybe even occasionally violate some laws. Today consists of five short stories of people I call my heroes. Four of them are heroes, and I will finish with the last story about a time I decided to break the law. But if you're going to break the law, I think you have to have some ground rules. You do not break the law for your own benefit. You must be breaking the law to benefit somebody else. Jesus set our example by breaking the law to heal a blind man. He didn't break the law to do something for himself. So, my background is I'm a retired certified public accountant with Pricewaterhouse. I've been a financial controller and a chief financial officer of a few medium-sized companies, and currently I'm a small business owner. Right now I have maybe 20 full-time employees and a couple of hundred people that have other jobs or are retired and work part-time for me. In the past, I've had as many as 1,000 people I was responsible for in 16 different countries on 3 continents. The world is full of leaders and followers, and no matter who you are or what you do, you can be a leader if you choose to be. All you have to do is take the opportunity to lead when it's handed to you. True leaders care about people. If you serve food and you care about your customers, you're a leader. And if your customers are just a paycheck, you're not. I'm encouraging you, given the right circumstances, to be a leader. I'll tell you without a doubt, it'll be worth it. I've been in business for 40 years. I've made lots of money. I've signed big contracts. The things I'm proud about are the little things that I've done for people. Those are the things that I look back on with joy. So, our first person I'm going to talk about is a guy named Yeshua. You've probably heard of him, maybe a nod or two. He's a first century Jewish mystic. We call him Jesus in English, but his name was Yeshua, and he was Jewish. Christianity didn't even exist during his lifetime. I know, controversial. It shouldn't be. But I'm at Fairview, intelligent crowd, not worried about it. And we do get his story from our gospel reading today. Jesus healed a blind man on the Sabbath. This was a violation of Jewish law. There is no question about that. You cannot work on the Sabbath. Monica actually spoke about that a few weeks ago, and there is a little exception over here, but it's a pretty hard and fast rule. He did it anyway. He broke the mold, set our example, and laws that prevent us from helping others can be ignored. There might be consequences. They are worth it. A blind man who couldn't see from birth could now see, and there are other examples of Jesus breaking Jewish laws, but I only needed one. When I read that one, I said, if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, I need to be a follower that follows his examples. Breaking laws that help people is okay, as long as I'm not doing it for myself. That was my example, and that's why that's my favorite scripture. Person number two is Mohandas Gandhi. And we're going to see a photo of him probably in a moment. Gandhi wanted independence for India, which as of 1930 had been occupied by a colony of Great Britain for over 300 years. Gandhi also believed in peace, didn't want a violent revolution to attain independence. So he wanted to negotiate a peaceful separation, and he was unsuccessful in several attempts to get Great Britain to take him seriously when he wrote, met, and discussed and asked for negotiations on independence. On March 12, 1930, in order to get the attention, he and other independence leaders decided to have a protest march. We still have protest marches today. Decided to violate an obscure British law that hurt poor people more than anybody else. The 1882 British Salt Act required that all Indians purchase salt, simple table salt, from the British and pay a salt tax on it. It was illegal for them to make their own salt. The poorest of the poor were required to buy that salt and couldn't go to the sea and gather salt by the ocean or the sea. They couldn't take salt water, boil off the water, and create their salt. That was all illegal. You had to purchase your salt and pay the tax. So Gandhi wrote a letter to the British Viceroy of India stating his intentions to have a peaceful march, violate the law at the end of it, and he offered not to do it if concessions were made. And the Viceroy would not answer his letter. So from March 12th to April 6th, almost a month, Gandhi and his followers marched from Ahmedabad, India, to the seacoast at Dandi. I don't expect you to know where either of those places are, but it's 240 miles. And for reference, that's like walking from Las Vegas to Costa Mesa. You can almost imagine that distance. When he got there, Gandhi dried seawater and made salt, violating the law. Well, the authorities decided to ignore him. Sometimes that's what they do. So he and his followers said, okay, we're just gonna work our way down the coast and we're gonna make salt every single day. We're just gonna keep violating the law every single day. They continued doing that. This was April 6th. They continued doing that every single day until May 5th, an entire month later, when the British authorities finally arrested him. His violation of law began the independence process for his country, and India became fully independent in 1947. He wasn't making salt for his own benefit. He managed to get independence for his country through a violation of law in a peaceful way. Person number three, Chayuni Sugihara. Has anyone in here even heard of him? Feel free to just say yes out loud if you have. Unsung hero. I may start crying. World War II. Many Polish Jewish refugees fled Lithuania when the Nazis invaded their country. As the Nazis threatened to invade Lithuania, these frantic refugees surrounded the Japanese consulate and asked for visas to escape. What would happen was if they were able to get a visa to go to Japan, they could go to Japan through the Soviet Union, and then they could leave Japan and go to a safe country, South America or the Dutch Indies or some other place. But they needed something in order to allow them to travel through the Soviet Union to get to Japan. So Mr. Sugihara began issuing visas to people to travel to Japan for onward travel to a safe country. Now, he got direct orders from his superiors in Japan to stop issuing these visas. And he ignored it. He continued issuing them. Day, night, day, night, hundreds of visas. Then it became 1,000 visas. Then it became 2,000 visas. They closed down the consulate in Lithuania and reassigned him. There's even word, we would call it probably urban legend, that he continued issuing visas from the window of his train as he was pulling out. His family says he probably didn't do that, but maybe he did. But that was the type of man he was. After his wartime European service, he spent 18 months in a Soviet prison camp before he was finally returned to Japan, where he was forced to resign from his job because of the unauthorized visas. He worked odd jobs for the rest of his life. For decades, he wasn't sure anyone had even lived that he issued a visa to. In 1968, a survivor tracked him down. It was the first time he knew that sacrificing his career, deep breath, had mattered. No regrets. The Simon Wiesenthal Center estimates that over 40,000 people are alive today because of his rule breaking. The world would be a very different place if it were not for the people who became Rhodes Scholars, diplomats, and many other things, if it was not for this brave man. He made a difference. Claudette Colvin. Some of you may have heard of her. I see a couple of nods. Who thinks a teenager can't make a difference? Teenagers can make a huge difference. Claudette Colvin, right here, beautiful young girl, was 15 years old when she broke the law in Montgomery, Alabama. Our pastor is right now doing a tour of Underground Railroad stops. Claudette Colvin was reading about them in school in Montgomery, Alabama, when this happened. On March 2nd, 1955, 9 months before Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on the same bus system, Claudette Colvin was arrested for refusing to give up hers. She was sitting in the coloreds only section of the bus, but all of the white seats were filled. So the bus driver ordered her to get up from her seat to make room for a white woman. She had been studying history in school, learned about Harriet Tubman, a runaway slave who'd led more than 70 other slaves to freedom through a series of safe houses known as the Underground Railroad. And she'd learned about Sojourner Truth, a former slave who'd become an abolitionist and women's rights activist. They had also talked about the segregation laws they lived under in Alabama, their inability to eat at a lunch counter, their inability to even try on clothes at a department store before you bought them. If they wanted to buy a pair of shoes, they had to draw an outline of their foot on a piece of paper and fit it into a shoe and then buy the shoe. They weren't allowed to try them on before purchasing. I can't even imagine these things. You read about this and you realize the conditions that we were making people, we, the United States, in certain places were making people live under. It's barbaric. So when she was told to give up her seat, she said, this is her quote, "My head was just too full of black history, the oppression we went through. It felt like Sojourner Truth had one side pushing me down and Harriet Tubman was on the other. I couldn't get up." In jail, when the cell door closed on her, she was scared. She says she started saying the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm. I can imagine those same comfort that I find in those words. The Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Those are comforting words. Now, Claudette was actually one of four plaintiffs in Browder versus Gale, the court case that finally overturned bus segregation, both in Montgomery and nationwide. The case went all the way to the Supreme Court. She changed the law through her action. Months later, Rosa Parks sparked a bus boycott. Claudette Colvin changed the law, and both were significant in the March for Civil Rights. 15 years old. She's one of my heroes. Now I'm going to talk about me. John F. Kennedy said, one person can make a difference and everyone should try. And as I said, I try to follow Jesus' example. If I break a law and I'm prosecuted, I will face a jury of my peers. Whatever I have here is only temporary. My soul is forever. Several years ago, I had an employee named Steve. I was walking through my workplace. I asked him how things were going, and he said things were tough. I said, what's going on? And he said, well, his wife had just turned 65. I knew she was on dialysis 3 times a week, and she had been required to go on Medicare because our health insurance plan didn't allow anybody eligible for Medicare to stay on the health insurance plan. Isn't that a good thing? He said, no, she only has 39 units in the Social Security system, so we have to pay 100% of the cost ourselves. Side note, you need 40 units or 30 or 40 quarters of coverage in order to get Medicare subsidized by the federal government or collect Social Security. A quarter of coverage or a unit back in 2013 was $1,160 of earnings in a calendar quarter. Today it's $1,640 of earnings in a calendar quarter. She was one calendar quarter short. I told him, come by my office in a few minutes. Let's see what we can do. When he got to my office, I asked him if he could use an assistant. He said, no. I said, Steve, you've got to work with me here. I told him I was thinking we could hire your wife for 2 months as your assistant, and then about $1,000 a month. But so it won't cost the company much money, I'm thinking about reducing your pay by the same $1,000. That way we're only out the excess payroll taxes. But she has to agree, no unemployment claims, no workers' comp claims, and then she can get her last quarter of coverage. Problem solved. A 450-pound man started crying in my office. Couldn't believe I would do that for him. I know I violated some employment laws. First, we never actually saw her in person. We let him take the paperwork home to complete and just return it the next day. She didn't take the drug screen that was mandatory company policy as a government contractor, and she never actually performed any work. And I don't care. I had to then inform his supervisor, Scott, who's actually in the back row today, and then my HR person, what we were going to do. They were fine. 3 weeks later, the majority owners of the company decided it was time to buy me out and part ways with them. So they did, but my staff followed through, just like good people always do. I spoke to him several months later, asked him how things were going. He said everything worked perfectly. Medicare was now 100% covered, and she even started receiving Social Security checks. She's passed away now. He lost the love of his life. But for a few years, I made life better for both of them, and no regrets. Prosecute, if you will. I dare you to find a jury that will convict me. So that's it for today. I say it's okay to break laws in certain circumstances. I've given you 5 examples, I could give you more, but given the opportunity, take the risk. Jesus set our example. It's worth it. Amen.